Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our online version of I'm Fell in Love Ministries. We're so happy to have you here today. You are going to get an official welcome from one of our youth so that you might feel at home in the love zone. Amen. So while she's coming to give us our official welcome, you may want to grab your Bible because we're going to have some awesome teaching today. And our teaching is going to be about the fruit of the Spirit.
Welcome to Unfailing Love Ministry, where one service will change your life.
Okay. Where one service will change your life. And now we'll have an opening prayer for our own Minister Matthew.
God, thank you for gathering us here today. God, let there be a word for someone out there today, Lord. Let the service change your life today, Lord. Let something be said to encourage them to get through the week. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let something be said today, and it will be said today. I want you to be listening and listening attentive because the Bible says, those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. When I was a little girl, on Sunday morning, I'd get up before anybody else got up in our house and get dressed, put on that one little polka dot dress I had. I was about 7 to 8 years old. And I would get out the house and walk across Sandy Lane. That was really the name of our street, because in our corner, we lived on the corner, there was about 6 inches of sand just in that corner, and in that corner alone. I'd cross over Sandy Lane into my granddaddy's front yard, went through the chicken coop, went through the hog pen, cow patch, horse patch, cornfield, over the barbed wire fence, through the woods, up the dirt road, across the railroad track, up King's Highway, the King's Highway Baptist Church. And no matter when I went, and I went quite often, when I would enter the church, they would be singing this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me so. And I thought that, you know, that was the only song they knew. No, really, that was a Sunday school song, and I loved it. And years later, I'm 62 years old now, but years later, that song got in my spirit, and I began to know and search the Bible for examples of how God loved me. And so it's not by accident that the church that he called me the pastor last year called Unfailing Love Ministries. And if you would turn with me in your Bible to Psalms 100. And 43, wait a minute, let me see. Yeah, 143 and 8. Where am I going to find that at? Okay. 143, yeah, That's exactly what I'm looking for. Psalms 143. Verse 8. You know, we're in the love zone and the text zone today. We got it on the screen and everything. I love it. So here we go. This is, I love this song. It is a contemplative prayer of David while he was in a cave. And I'd like to read down to verse 8. And, yeah, that's what I want to do. Yeah, I want to read down to verse 8. I think it's awesome. Actually, Psalms 142 is a contemplative prayer, and then 143 is actually the song of David. So here's David singing. I'm not going to sing like David, but here it is. Eternal One, reading from our Bible, the Voice Bible, I come to you in prayer. Hear me out, I plead with you. Lend an ear to my request. In your faithfulness and justice, respond to my pleas. Be kind and show slow to judge your faithful servant. For compared to you, no one is truly just. My adversary has pressed in, drawn closer, threatened my life. He's crushed me, driven me underground. He's forced me to live in the dark as if I joined those who died a long time ago. That's why my spirit is growing faint inside me. I have nothing left. My heart is completely empty and desolate. And yet I can't forget. I can't forget the days of old, the days I've heard so much about. I fix my mind on all you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. I reach out my hands to you. All that I can, or all that I am, aches and yearns for you. Like a dry land thirsting for rain. Hurry, hurry and answer me, O Eternal One, for my spirit is weak. My courage is gone. Do not turn away. Let me see your face. Otherwise, I'll die, and I'll be like those who have gone to the grave. Verse 8, make me hear your faithful love, or unfailing love, some versions say, in the morning, for I trust in you. I love this song because the songwriter is here. So this is the state of affairs of my present life. What I need you to do for me now, all this is going on, and you may be able to identify yourself in some of those things that he was saying, how the adversary was pressing in and how he was threatening his life. And, you know, every time I look at the stack of bills, I go, ooh, that's a threat. He's sort of crushing in on my day, you know, having to take my mind off the Lord and put my mind on that amount of bills. But he's just driven me underground. So David was talking about all the state of his life, the status of his life, the state of David. So some of you might be saying the state of Dr. V or the state of Minister Matthew. But here he has in the 8th verse, he says, listen, make me hear your unfailing love in the morning. You know, when my day gets started, when I have to get up fighting the enemy, I need to hear your voice before I hear his voice. For I trust in you. Teach me how I should walk. For I offer my soul first up to you. And I tell people all the time, I don't care what kind of shoe you in. If you don't know how to walk, amen, in this world, amen, it doesn't matter how much your shoes cost. Amen, it's where those shoes are taking you, where your mind is taking you, where your heart and where your spirit is taking you. Hear the voice of God, because he will give you direction. The Bible says you'll hear a voice behind your ear telling you to go this way or that way. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he should direct your path. What does that have to do with Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so? It has everything to do with that, because if you begin to search the Bible for scriptures that talk about just how much God loves me, here David is saying, listen, I know you love me. I know you see the enemy pressing in on me. I know you see my adversary at my heel. And with all of that, all I need to hear, Lord, is your voice, because I trust you. You'll give me a way of escape.
You'll go before me and you'll make the crooked places straight. You will perfect those things that I'm concerned about. You're full of mercy, Father, and you will not forsake the work of your hands in my life. Listen, I know I'm going to suffer in this life. We're going to have trials and tribulations. But you already said in your word, this is about love, that after I have suffered for a little while, you will strengthen, you will establish, you will settle, you will perfect me. Huh? And we talked about this the other week. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so when you look at the Bible as a place that you go to find out how much God loves you, if you begin to frame how he handles the things in your life that you certainly cannot handle for yourself, you'll see love everywhere. From Genesis to Revelation, you start to loving on me. You know, God, I see that love right there. I'm going to apply that to my life. Amen? And so our praise today is this song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, for the Bible tells me. So we're going to sing it together as a congregation. You sing along with us. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Me? Yes. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. For the Bible tells me so. You may not be convinced, but before the end of this online broadcast, I believe you're going to be convinced that God loves you. You're going to find love up close and personal if you just stay tuned to us. Amen? We have, and we want to go forward ahead this afternoon here at Unfailing Love Ministries in the Love Zone. And we have what we call our leadership lesson. Our pastors and ministers, they bring forth the lesson pretty soon. Our young people are going to be bringing forth a leadership lesson, yes, because that's when you start learning how to be a leader when you're very young. Amen? I told my daughter coming up before she can hardly talk, you're a leader. Amen? You're not a follower. You're not going to follow any Tom, Dick, and Harry, Sally, and Jane anywhere. You're going to be leading the pack. Amen? And I'm going to teach this. So we have leadership lessons. I want you to get your pen and get your Bible, get a piece of paper, take notes. Our own Pastor Lonnie Williams has been stewing with this message. It's marinated. It's strong. It's stiff, but it's palatable for you. It's what you need to hear today, and I want you to hear. Again, those that have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Pastor Lonnie Williams.
Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, be a friend all around me every day. Jesus, I want you to protect me as I travel along my way.
Yes,
I know he can,
yes,
and I know he will.
Yes,
he'll fight my battles, but I keep still. Oh, Lord, see your fence all around me every day. Praise God, I just want to say thank you, God, for traveling mercy the last 2 days. I just drove from here to Kentucky, back down to Yorktown, and now I'm here to bring, thus saith the Lord, a message that's been in me for the last couple of weeks. I want to give a shout out to a good friend of mine who's listening by the name of Teresa Jackson, a good angel friend of mine. And if y'all were to meet her, y'all would know that she's definitely from heaven. Hey, T. Right now, I'm going to do this verse because this is what a word that she gave me, and she's the one that wrote it. And it says here, we're going to start with Galatians 5, chapter 22. Now, I sang that song, Jesus Be a Prince All Around Me, because when you have a garden of precious fruits and vegetables, you want to have a fence to protect. And I ask God to be a fence around me. Galatians 5:22 says, the Holy Spirit produces a different kind of fruit, unconditional love, joy, peace, patience, kindheartedness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, and self-control. You won't find any law opposed to fruit like this.
Those of us who belong to the Anointed One have crucified our old lives and put to death the flesh and all the lusts and desires that plague us. Now, since we have, verse 25, says, now, since we have chosen to walk with the Spirit, let's keep each step in perfect sync with God's Spirit. This will happen when we set aside our self-interest and work together to create true community instead of a culture consumed by provocation, pride, and envy. And I have a little note on the back of my paper here that says, leaders have to be servants to teach leadership. And that God will teach you before he releases you. I'm going to read my word to y'all. Let me pray first. Father, I thank you so much for this opportunity to deliver what you have put in us to hear. Lord God, thank you for using me as a vessel, Lord God, and giving me the strength to do what you have me to do, no matter what my body tells me is otherwise. Thank you, Lord God, for your blessings in my life and the life of those who are about to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen. First fruit of the Spirit is love, which means the self-denying, self-sacrificing, Christ-like love, which is the foundation of all other grace. Unselfish, loyal, and benevolent concern for the well-being of another. The high esteem which God has for his human children and the high regard which they in turn should have for him and other people. To love, to have affection for someone, to like, to be a friend, the love of brothers for each other. One of the main messages that comes through loud and clear from God, the Father, is that everyone should learn how to love him, love ourselves, love one another, and to even go as far as to be able to love our enemies and those who will try and hurt us. However, our abilities as fallen humans to love one another is very limited. This is why it is so important for each and every born-again Christian to let the Holy Spirit get this fruit worked up into the core of our personality. It is only when the love of the Holy Spirit starts to flow and enter into our personalities can we even begin to love God, to love ourselves, and to love one another to the degree, intensity, that God would really like to see from each one of us. Another fruit of the Spirit is joy, which means happy, joyful, cheerful, rejoicing. The happy state that results from knowing and serving God, that deep, abiding inner rejoicing in the Lord, that's joy. In the rough and tough world we live in, with all the crime and disorder and bad things that can happen to any one of us at any time, many Christians have lost a lot of their joy in the Lord as a result of some of the beatings they have taken in this life. No matter how bad of a beating you may have taken in this life, God can still fully heal, deliver, and restore you if you are willing to work with him in this healing process. Realize that God can transmit this divine quality right up into your personality, and this will be his joy, not your joy, once it starts to flow up into you. Amen? Third is peace, which means the presence and experience of right relationships, the tranquility of soul, the sense of well-being and fulfillment that comes from God and is dependent on his presence, the inner tranquility and poise of the Christian whose trust is in God through Christ. With all of the uncertainty of this life and never knowing what is going to happen next, jobs are no longer as secure as they used to be. You never know when the company you work for may be bought out or your job will be gone in a flash. Half of all marriages are still ending up in divorce. We are all forced to constantly live under the threat of future terrorist activity, never knowing when or where the next attack will come from. With all this kind of heightened activity that we all are forced to deal with on a daily basis, it becomes very easy to lose your sense of peace, peace that surpasses all human understanding, especially when that peace comes in right in the middle of a severe storm cloud that you may be going through. The quality of peace should be one of the main qualities that you should try and get worked up into your soul through the Holy Spirit and the sanctification process. Without the peace of God operating in your life, you become very easily rattled, shaken, tormented, and knocks right off your game in the Lord the first time any kind of adversity should ever come your way. I'm going to tell you now about long-suffering, or a thing called patience, which I sometimes suffer with not having enough of. This means patience is endurance and steadfastness under provocation. Forbearance under ill will with no thought of retaliation. That's the key words right there. It's forbearance under ill will. Deal with ill will with no thought of retaliation. That's patience. Patience, endurance, steadfastness, and forbearance, long-suffering, all coming together. Forbearance under suffering and endurance in the face of adversity, ability to endure persecution and ill treatment, and act like it don't even bother you. Many people have been killed or seriously injured because someone lost their temper over something that was very trivial. With the fast-paced ways of our society, many people have had their fuses shortened up, and thus it takes very little to set them off. As a result, many people have very little patience operating in their personalities today. For Christians, this poses a major dilemma. One of the ways of our God is that he is very patient and long-suffering with us. His ways are not our ways, and one of the things you will find out very early on about his ways is that he works on a much slower time frame than we do. And unless you learn to adjust to his slower way of working things out, you will find yourself easily losing your patience with him and how he wants to work things out in your life. Amen. I'm a witness to that. God operates on a much longer and slower time frame than we are used to operating because of our fast-paced world in which we live in. With the way all of these definitions are reading, you can really see why we all need the patience and long-suffering of the Holy Spirit to stop operating in our souls and personalities, especially when we are forced to face any kind of adversity. Sometimes it would be the patience and long-suffering of the Holy Spirit that would be the only thing that would give you the ability to last the entire length of a bad trial. We have to learn how to ride and flow with the patience of the Holy Spirit in our daily life and walk with the Lord. And when you do, you will then be able to enter into a much more restful, peaceful state within your mind and emotions. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness, all of those will come so easily. I'm going to skip down to the last one, number 9, of those fruits that's growing in this garden of ourselves that we call human. I'm going to talk about self-control, which means temperance, rational restraint of natural impulses, soberness, temperament, calm, and dispassionate approach to life. Having mastered personal desires and passions. This calls for self-discipline, a self-disciplined life, following Christ's example of being in the world but not of the world. Restraint or discipline exercised over one's behavior. The Bible tells us that our spirits and our flesh will war against each other in this life. Our flesh wants immediate self-gratification at all costs, and will stop at nothing to try and get it. Our spirits know that some of our fleshly desires are not right for us, and as a result, there will be a tug of war between the two, and sometimes it will be a major tug of war. And the only thing that will be able to control and curb some of the desires of our flesh is the quality of our self-control through the help of the Holy Spirit. Since we all live in a very self-centered and materialistic type world today, many people have very poor impulse control. They see something they immediately want, they will do anything they can to try and get it. They will not be denied until they get what they are going after. These people are obviously very weak in the quality of self-control. This is why the Bible tells us that if we can learn how to really walk in the Holy Spirit, then we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. If in our garden that we call our life, we sow seeds of unconditional, unfailing love, joy, peace, patience, kindheartedness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, we will have a beautiful garden that will give God the glory, and he will love to water and nurture us. As leaders, we have to be able to spread this. We have to sow our seed also to our followers so they see us as good leaders to know how to be able to lead those that they're going to have to lead. So in order for us to be a follower, a leader rather, like it says here, in order for us to be a leader, we need to know how to serve, to be able to teach leadership. And that's the word that I have. Father, thank you for that word. I appreciate the strength you're giving me to deliver that word, too. And I love you, Lord, all my heart. In Jesus' name, right on. Amen.
We want to thank Pastor Lenny for that teaching on leadership. If you're going to be a leader, you're going to have to learn how to be a servant, and you're going to have to learn how to teach leadership. Amen? Anybody get a personal point out of that they want to share? Go ahead, sweetie. Can you come up here so they can hear you and on the radio? You're on the radio. Come all the way up. There you go, sweetie.
The last main thing, in order to be a leader, we have to serve first.
Got to serve first. Okay, awesome. You got that. Anybody else get a point? Okay, that has been our leadership lesson for today. We do want to be known. Every church has its own culture, and we want to be known as a church that teach leaders how to lead with love, hence our name, Unfailing Love. Amen. And then if you love, then there should be some kind of sign. It should be a witness of your ability to love. And if you follow those few of the spirit that Pastor Lonnie was talking about, then you'll be showing some strong signs that you have the capability and you have a love walk. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot have a love walk without having a up close, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that God sets up government and leadership. Amen. So when Jesus came to choose his 12 disciples, he chose men of all walks. He chose fishermen and businessmen and doctors and just, you know, they didn't have to have any degrees in theology and all etymologies and things like that. But they had to be willing to follow. A good leader is also a good follower.
Right.
Amen? Jesus said, come follow me. That was the first prerequisite to him teaching them how to become leaders. And these 12 men literally turned the world upside down in their ministries moving forward. And so thank you, because we can see, if we want to call out one of them, amen, Peter had to go to the school of leadership of Jesus Christ. So Peter did not have any patience. Peter would cut your ear off. Jesus would have to put it back on. Peter learned patience. Jesus learned patience. The Bible says that Jesus learned obedience as well. He learned obedience by the things that he had what? Suffered. Whoa. If you're a leader, you got to be willing to what? Suffer. Glory to God. Nobody wants to do that, Dr. V. Amen. Everybody look around like, what? Is that really in the qualifications? You know, you got to understand what suffering is. If nobody sees you go through anything, they're going to be suspected when they come to you with their suffering that you're going to be sensitive. Amen. Have a little wisdom, a little faithness about you to help them hang on. Because if you're in a storm, if you keep walking, keep moving, you're going to what? Go through it. But if you give up in the middle of the storm, if you can't grab hold of the peace that abides in your relationship with Jesus Christ, amen? And if a leader has never been in a place like Peter was, where he started out walking on water, as we talked the other week, and then he took his eyes, he took his focus off of Jesus, and he began to sink. But Jesus, in his compassion, he didn't let him drown. He could have said, boy, you walked out here, let me see what you're working with. Get back to that boat. No, they hung out there. He picked him up. So Peter was quick to what? To Jesus out. So we may think that Peter was just impatient, but he was more than that. Peter, rather, was quick to call on his Savior. So help me, Lord. Amen. Help me, Lord. A lot of times we call on everybody else while we're going down. Jesus, oh, wait, I remember Jesus knows how to pick me up. So let me call on him. Amen. We call the banker, the lawyer, girlfriend, boyfriend, you know, all those other folks who can't bring you up. My mama said, you can't get me out of a teaspoon full of water. We'll have some hot water, you understand? So thank you again, Pastor Lonnie, for that leadership lesson. We're going to be having more and more leadership lessons moving forward. This next 30 days is going to be very interesting for us because we're going to be digging in and getting prepared for a great harvest, amen, and as we move to our new location, which we fondly call 70. And over in the village, the RCC Village of Churches up on Oak Gordon and Sims Avenue, 2214 Gordon Avenue, July the 2nd at 12 noon. Meet us there for our New Beginning Celebration service. And then follow us, if you will, back to the house because Pastor Bear would have been all night long queuing. Amen. Get ready for our 4th of July celebration cookout. And then following Saturday from 6 to 9, online people, if you're anywhere near hours or from here, come on down, amen, at 6 p.m. on Saturdays, and we are going to be celebrating our life in Christ at the Love Zone at 7 East is what we call it. And, we're going to be raising up leaders who love. Amen? Amen. Get ready for the Word of God. How many are ready for the Word of God? You ought to give God 100 because he got a word for you today. Amen. You ought to give God 100. Amen. This is church. This is how they started out in houses, so don't be getting all smile up in here. We're going to raise the roof off of this two-story house. Amen. Glory to God. Our word today, the message of the Lord today, amen, comes from Psalms 112. Turn to it in your voice Bible, your navigator Bible. We're gonna get into this word. It's gonna bless us. It's even going to take us even more so as Pastor Lonnie is teaching us about what a leader needs and all those fruits of the Spirit. This word that God has given us for today is going to cause us to have great expectations. Amen. From God who has already promised that this is what we're supposed to have. How many of you know, amen, that if we knew, listen to this, if we knew what God had already allocated for us, amen, that we would really, really, really embrace more of it. Kind of like the prodigal son. He had all his father's, you know, access to all of his father's wealth. But he took his little portion, amen, and went on off and squandered it, amen, partying and rising, sleeping and all that kind of thing. And he ended up eating at a house pastor. And one day he came to his sister and said, wait a minute, if my father's house, my service is better than this. Yeah, my dad's service. I'm going to go back home and serve dad. And he went back home, his father. Saw him from a distance, you know, told his servant, he listened, go get a robe, go get a ring, the son's come back home, father's son. Come back home, but he realized that he left a place of abundance. I mean, he could have stayed there, you know, a long time. The other son was still there when he got back, so his dad didn't have no rule, you know, 18 year out, 25 year out kind of thing. But he could have stayed there and enjoyed all that the father had for him. You know, then he began to remember how well he lived. and remember what his Father has. And I think that sometimes we have to remember what God has for us. Amen? So this is the word of the Lord today. Hear this word, Psalms 112. Here we go. Everybody in the word, follow along with me, because if you don't follow along with me in the word, you might miss something. Again, Psalms 112, listening orders. Here we go. Praise the Eternal. How blessed, listen to this, how blessed are those who revere the Eternal. Whenever you see Eternal in this word of God, it is talking about God, okay? Young people, you got it? When you see Eternal with a capital E, it is talking about God himself, amen? So, here we go. It says, how blessed are those who revere, you know, who honor God, who turn from evil and take great pleasure in his commandments. This is the thing, and I think we miss that sometimes, young man and young woman. I think we miss that sometimes. Sometimes I think we crack open God's word and go, okay, let me find a scripture that's going to help me, you know, build a bridge over this troubled water. So we go to it for, like if we're sick, we go to it to get a shot. But David and some of the other people in his list, it is not only that you have access to the word of God, you got to love it. You got to enjoy it. You know, when I was coming up, can I tell you the truth? When I was coming up, before I read the Bible all the way through, I read the romance magazines. You know, y'all remember those days when they were printing those? Amen. Young Love, Old Love, Middle School, whatever. I don't remember all the names of that, but I remember my sister and brother would be out playing, and I'd be laying across the bed reading from page to page. You know, I was a good reader, and I read all the love. I was a terrible romantic person, too. That got developed in this one. But anyway, this is what it is. I read it all. I love my romance magazines. You know, Mama would read them, and I would read them, and I would read them again. When I read all, I would go back and read them again. You know, that kind of thing. I loved it. So when I got really saved, and I put both feet in the church, you know, I began to understand that the more I love God's word, love to get in God's word, the better things start looking in my life. Amen? The Bible says eat the word. The Bible says the entrance of the word bringeth life. The Bible says he sent his word, and it healed them and delivered them from all of their distresses. Amen? And so this writer says, listen, you got to love his commandments. His precepts, you know, his testimony. You got to love the wisdom in there. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law should not depart from your mouth, lest you meditate on it how long? And then what will happen? Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have what? Good success. Amen? So this is, all of that's in the word. And so that if you love it, like I love the magazine, and went to bed with them, got up with them, you know, came home from, you know, from school and got in them before I got in my books. You know, it was evident that I spent time, you know, into something that I love doing. It is evident if you spend time in this word. Amen. This is why I thank God for my husband. He got me Sirius Radio, because Joe Osteen, even though he tell all his little, you know, kind of, you got to think about a joke, you laugh. You know, he said, that is so corny, Joel. He didn't say that was really corny. But anyway, he is lifting up the word of the Lord. The reason I know he's lifting up the word of the Lord, because when I did start falling in love with his commandments, I got a whole lot of basic, you know, knowledge about the word of God. So I could tell, even though Joel very seldom say, well, this comes from Psalm, you know, 91. He'll talk about a principle to where you'll know that, you know what, if you just dwell in the secret place of the Most High, you should abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He doesn't quote where the scripture is. He just, what, quotes the scripture. And because I know that, oh, I know that's in there, and I used to tell people all the time, it's in there. It's like Prego, it's in there. I know it because what I read, I spent time with it, got intimate with it. Amen? So don't take this lightly when it says this is how it happens. Verse 2 says, to turn from evil and take great what? Pleasure in what? His commandments, his words. Okay? Listen, this is the result of that. Number 2. Whose children? Their children will be powerful, be a powerful force upon the earth. Wait a minute. This, y'all gotta follow how this goes. If you spend time and love God's commandments, the result of that is your seed, your children, will be a powerful force. Can you make a connection? Huh? Because if you spend time in your word, if you love the commandments, I don't know nobody ever really, really, really loved God's word and did not share it with their household, did not share it with their children, did not say, I used to, when Tressie was in middle school, she was embarrassed or something, but I didn't care. When she'd go out that door in the morning, I may be up there on the prayer line praying with somebody, but I know my household had to be covered. I said, y'all, hold on, my daughter leaves the school. I'd run down. I would chase her down the street if I had to. She'd say, pull up here now. Got to get this prayer in. God, Tressie is a leader, not a follower. She's the head and not the tail. Protect her in all her ways. Go before and make the crooked places straight. God, this is your child. You said that children are inheritance of the Lord. Hallelujah. You said that she would dwell in a secret place. Prayer on her life. Why? Because I what? Love his commandments. And I use his commandments. Amen? Amen. In her life. And so guess what? As she grew up and as her ministry began to unfold, amen, few people, not only in Virginia, but around this country that are in the dance world don't know Elder Tressie Hunt. Amen? She's become a powerful force in the and ministry. Why? Because seeds were sold to her based on my what? Love of the scripture. Now, listen, was I perfect in that? Did I crack my Bible every day? No. Didn't do it. But I loved it when I was in it. Amen? And I tried to get in it as often as possible. I'm hearing it. The Bible says that faith comes by what? And hear what? So if you don't read it, at least get to a place where you can what? Hear. That's why when I'm driving, sometimes I drive 50 to 200 miles a day, going from client to client. I am listening to the word. When I get out of the car, I can hardly wait to get back in it. Why? And usually when I get back in it, Joel is talking about something applicable to my life, talking about the word. Amen? So my children are blessed, amen, become a powerful force upon the earth, this generation that does what is right, and God's eyes will be what? Blessed. He's a promise. His house will be stocked with wealth and riches. And his love for justice will endure for what? All time. Whose house is it talking about? Is God in a respect of persons? He said, listen, I'm going to stock your house. You love my word? Amen? I'm going to stock your house. And you got to know what wealth looks like. I don't know about you, but if you didn't have a full refrigerator and all of a sudden your refrigerator is full, that's you're in a wealthy place right there in your refrigerator. If you have ever slept on the ground and you got a bed, a mattress, posturpedic, you got what? Some wealth in your house, amen? If you only had one pair of shoes and those had a hole in it, now you got so many pairs of shoes, you can wear a different pair every day, 30 days a week, you got some what? Wealth in your house. Not only material things, but if there's any peace in your house, hallelujah. Is there fussing and fighting day and night in your house? Afraid to stay in your house? Look at what wealth looks like. He says wealth, and then he separated to riches. So that if God is already, since, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself, but I want to do it for a purpose. In the beginning was the word was God, the Word became God, and the Word came flesh and dwelt among us in that context. All of that wraps around, back around, too. When you accepted Christ, he became alive in you. You became alive in him. And so that the Holy Spirit now is the teacher who leads you and guides you into all truth. And so that the Holy Spirit also becomes a convictor. He reminds you. He reminds you of the Word of God. And so that sometimes if you don't, you know what? I know that this is not the right thing to do. I hear the Holy Spirit telling me to turn, a Holy Spirit leading me this way and that way kind of thing. You now have an advocate, someone to help you, what, to run free from evil. You have an advocate. You have someone that is reminding you, you know what, that if you do that, it's gonna shake that wealth and riches that's supposed to be in your house. If you do that, you know, it's going to cause a light that's supposed to be in your house to kind of dim a little bit, amen? And so look here. at verse 4. So when life is dark, hey, a light will shine for those who live rightly. How many of you? I'm a country girl. Amen? And so I grew up in a neighborhood. We didn't have street lights. Come on, if the light from your house could shine out in the street, you could play at night, but you didn't have no street lights. But you know when the light's out in the country and you're driving down the country, that's darker than dark. Amen? Hallelujah. And so that light is very important in our lives. Not just that, the light from the light bulb, but the light of consciousness. Amen? The light of knowing what to do that is right. You know, we have raised up a generation of young people who do not know what right from wrong. We would say to them, didn't you know that wasn't right? They go, no. If it was there, I could take it. You know, I figure if she said something to me cross, I can knock her out. I don't care who she is, teacher, preacher, policeman, whatever like that. We got a generation of young people, amen, that don't fear nobody. Amen? No, not even their parents. That's why what? Kids are killing kids, and kids are killing parents, and parents are killing kids, and vice versa, whatever. That's, we are walking in a particular place right now where a generation of people have elected or getting ready to elect or nominate somebody with the personality of a Trump. Come on. What time is it? It is time for us to embrace the light. Because darkness is what? Vastly overtaking us. Go somewhere where you don't see darkness and you have your blindness on. Because it is, the Bible says there's a darkness that can't be what? Felt. And nowadays you can really feel the darkness. Amen? You can feel it. You ever drive down the street, why? Because you know you're in a dangerous place when you can begin to feel, even in the air, the challenges that will come and try to snuff your light out. Amen? And so here we go. It says, when life is dark, a light will shine for those who live what? Rightly. Those who are merciful, compassionate, and strive for what? Justice. It's telling you, because I know I know there's a question you're going to ask, well, Dr. B, I don't live also rightly all the time. Well, it's describing you what rightly live looks like. This is what it looks like. If you're merciful, if you're compassionate, if you strive for what? Justice. If you strive to treat everybody fair, if you try to be, to be kind, like the fruit of the Spirit, what Pastor London was talking about earlier. If you try to walk in that way, well, you know what? You got help, though. It is not like, I can't do this all by myself. God is not expecting you to do it all by yourself. We have a helper. We have an advocate. Who is that? The Holy Spirit. Amen? And so when we look at what God is saying that we have access to, then he tells us, here it is, and he tells us what it looks like, all right, and how to get there. Verse 5, good comes to all those who are gracious and share freely. Can't be stingy. They conduct their affairs with what? Sound judgment. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask who? God. So we're without excuse because we have a source to go to. We know where to go and how to go to get it. Amen? Yeah. That's what we do. And so when we look at what God is asking us to do, again, we have an advocate. We have someone to help us so that we can conduct our affairs with sound judgment. The Bible says that in a multitude of counsels in Proverbs 22:18, in a multitude of counsels, there's what? Much safety. If you have a mindset, and that's why the Bible says, take every thought captive into the obedience of God. Anything would exalt itself above the knowledge of God, you can kind of rest that thing. If you have a mindset, I ain't going to ask nobody, because nobody knows no more than I do. I know what to practice. I can do. No. Don't fool yourself. Don't be an island into yourself. Don't be a tower alone. You know, get someone else's perspective, but know where you go. Now, if you're going to go and ask somebody who lives and works than you, you went to the wrong place. Go and ask somebody who lives and got at least one foot ahead of the next person. Amen? Know where to go and get your wisdom. For sure, God hasn't given man wisdom, but the ultimate wisdom is who? God himself. Go down to the what? Neology. All right, here we go. Verse 6. Nothing will ever rattle them. The just will always be what? Remembered. They will not be afraid when the news is bad because they have resolved to what? Trust who? You know, I do something sometimes. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, reel myself to you right now. Be transparent. Sometimes, and please, I'm getting around to you, but I'm doing that. I check in with my leader sometimes. Especially if I heard from him a couple of days. Because I know that if you're in a leadership role, the adversary got you larger than choice, blowed up on his wall, and he's shooting at you every day. So I called my leaders. I said, what's up? Pastor Williams.
Yes.
What you doing? Yeah. I said, Okay. Why? I'm checking in because, let me tell you what, if you think for one minute, that the enemy is going to take a day off with you, think again. I'm checking to see how long you stay rattled. Amen? Why? Because in this life, in the same book that says I trust in his unfailing love, it says this. In this life, you're going to have what? Trials. You're going to have tribulations. Your kids are going to get kicked out of school. They're going to make you mad. Your neighbor's going to get upset. It's going to be too hot. Your heart's going to palpitate. The car is going to break down. Your husband's going to make you mad. Your sister's going to make you mad. You're going to make yourself mad. All of that stuff is involved in life. Trials and what? Tribulations. How long are you going to stay wrapped? Pastor Williams talked about self-control. How long does it take you to come back to your, let's just get all behavior, how long does it take you to come back to your center? The Bible says those that keep their mind on me, I will keep them in what? So how long does it take you to get back on your mind on Jesus? How long did it take Peter when he started sinking to get his mind back on what? Jesus. He didn't go down for the third time. Huh? Hello? When stuff rattles you, go to the one who made peace and is peace and has a gift of peace, and you get it. So God, I'm just going to sit here until peace comes over and take over me. I ain't going to say another word. I ain't going to curse nobody else out. I'm not going to drive like a maniac. I'm not going to light this match and burn this bed up. I'm not going to do any of that. I'm going to be still and see the salvation of the Lord. He's going to save somebody from me if I just be still. Hallelujah. Glory to God. If God, I used to tell people in Arizona, if God don't keep me, I won't be kept. Because you can't keep me. I promise you can't keep me. You can't keep my mind right now. I promise you, you cannot keep me from doing something crazy right now. But God can. God can. Huh? Is there anything too hard for God? I'm not too hard for God. I don't know about you. But I'm not. Amen? I'm his. He's mine. We got a love affair going on over here, and that's the way I love it. And so here we go. And I understand our listening audience are probably, it's still recorded, but you all just, you know, listen to the recorder all the way through. You get all the message. Amen. This is for the house. Verse 9. Their hearts are confident, and they are what? Fearless. Oh, my God. If you will begin to tell yourself what the Bible is saying about you. We often say, man, I'm so afraid this ain't going to happen. I'm afraid I'm not going to get that job. I'm afraid I'm not going to ever get married again. I'm so afraid that these kids, I'm not going to ever get it right. Look, listen, I'm confident. I'm confident this one thing that God got me. I'm confident that after a while, after I suffer for a little while, God's going to fix this. God's going to perfect this. God's going to establish this house. I am confident of this one thing. Amen. I am confident. I am not fearful. Amen. I'm fearless. Hallelujah. Less fear going on in my mind and my heart and my spirit because I know that God loves me and I know that he's working behind the scenes, amen, on my behalf. He says, if God is for us, who, what, to be what? Against us. Amen. No weapon formed against who? Me shall what? Prosper. It may form, but it's not going to prosper. Amen. I'm speaking to that that's coming against me. I do like the guy on the Matrix. Amen. What do they call him? The one in black suit. Anyway, the bullets were coming at him. He just did this. And the bullets just kind of like, if you learn, amen, the power that is in you, your identity is in Christ. Amen. Your identity is in Christ. Amen. The oracle tried to tell him, but listen, you came here not because of what you want to know. You came here to figure out why you agreed to come. You got to understand that your life is hid in Christ, and no weapon is going to prosper, take you out of here, amen, separate you from the love of God. And then when you get that, then you become that formidable spirit that you can hold out your hands and all those things will fall. Amen, because the truth, it can't stand against the truth. The truth is so powerful. The truth has energy. The truth shapes the world. The truth created the world. The truth made a eternity, amen, up for you and me. That's what all how powerful the truth is, amen? The truth is a jailbreaker. The truth will set you free in your mind and in your spirit, amen? Glory to God. And so here we go. Their hearts are what? Confident, and they are fearless, for they expect to see their enemies, what? Defeated. Come on, use the right language. Oh, you know the devil is busy. Oh, he's going to take me out. I'm up. So I know you're running, right? Took me a while to wake up, but now I'm awake. So you need to get out of Dodge because I ain't got time. Right, that's good. I know who I am. I mean, I know my God. And when I start calling on my God, when my God see me cry, my God don't like to see me cry. So when my God see me cry, the wrath of God is going to come out of you. Don't make me cry. Make my day. Come on. Would you make me go to my knees today? Because when I go to my knees, it's going to be hard for you. You're going to get it. Oh, you're going to get it now. You know, that's what we need to talk to them. You're going to be messing with me today. You up in that house? Yeah, you got to posture yourself. Amen. Muhammad Ali, you say, oh, you're not from the greatest door? I am the greatest. Huh? You ain't had no BC lately? You understand what I'm saying? When we have our confidence in God, it postures us in humility toward Him, but in boldness. Amen. Toward our enemy. Amen. Yeah, God said, listen, if you only knew the power, the same power that's in you is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. How powerful is that? Amen? So here we are. Woo! I love it. They give freely to whom? The poor. Their righteousness endures for all time. Their strength and power is established in honor. Talk about you. Hallelujah. 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 We're going to be known. I'm selling love ministries in the love zone. First of all, we're in the kingdom. We're going to act like king's kids. Ain't nothing we got that we can't break apart and help and give to somebody else a little piece. Amen. Hallelujah. My mama taught me that at an early age. She fixed a pot of soup, and everybody in the house got a bowl. Amen. And if she thought the neighbor across the street didn't have no soup, she sent them a bowl too. Like Jesus, she kept dipping in the pot, and more kept coming out. My mama gave to the poor. Sometimes my mama always housed people. Now I'll tell you this. Amen. This scripture is, I want you to continue to meditate on it. I want you to really get it in your spirit. I would memorize it if I were you. But I would get this scripture down in my spirit and apply it to my life. I'm going to fall in love with God's word. I'm going to be intimate with his word. I'm going to love his commandments. That anointing of my life, loving God's commandments, is going to fall on my children. And my children are going to be a force to work to reckon with. Amen? And not only that, my life, I'm going to have wealth and riches in my house. Amen? hallelujah, the devil is going to be fearful of me. Amen. Oh, come on, it's just taking the word and applying it to your life. And when you do that, amen, amen. When people came and say, Dr. B, especially when they came here, they see my former house over on East End. It was a decent house, amen. That some of those when I was out in Arizona, they came to the beautiful house that I have. I said, oh, that was awesome. But when they came out here, amen, when they seen the house that I shared a few people with, that was a dream house, you know, location and all like that. When they saw, they go, oh, my God. And they would say, nah, this is what they say. You have to understand the anointing you have on your life, and you have to be able to stand flat-footed. So, don't touch that, because I know what God is doing in my life. So, well, don't fill this one up with people. But hold up. You understand. I'm blessed because I bless. I'm blessed because I give to the poor. I'm blessed because I lend to the poor. I'm blessed because I have the poor. I will not be homeless, amen, because I don't have a room that somebody can't sleep in because I got my trophies up in there. Hallelujah. That room is for my extra clothes, amen. Oh, no, that's my showroom. That's my guest room. I mean, you can only come here and stay for a minute. I don't know how you roll. I don't know what your anointing is, but my anointing is right there, and I know it. I'm 62 years old. I know what God promised you right now. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God said, lend to the poor. And I thought, I will repay this, the Lord. You got to prove God at His word. God, the word says this. I'm living it now. Okay. And God has said, I'm faithful. I won't lie to you, Matthew. You keep blessing people, Matthew, and see what happens. You're not only going to be working for somebody, you're going to have your own business. That's been prophesied to you how many over and over again. You keep blessing people. And watch. Everybody's yard you cut, everybody's this you did, rent you run in that, they're going to be your customers, and they're going to bring other people customers. Amen? That's how it works. Giving that you have been given unto you, have good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over to who? God calls what? Men to give unto your bosom. That's the way it works. This is the word of the Lord. Give God 100. We bless the Lord. If you're still listening to our recorded broadcast now, amen. We thank God for you, and we ask you, invite you to continue to listen to the word of the Lord, not just till next Saturday. Open up Psalms 112 in your Bible. Amen, and read it for yourself. Get it into your spirit. Begin to live that word out. Amen, walk that word out. It's a love walk. Amen, and we encourage you to come to that love walk. We encourage you, if you're ever in the Richmond Chesterfield vicinity, amen, to come be a part of our ministry. Do feel free for the next month, all of you, to listen to us online from 6 to 9, 6:30 actually, for an hour. Amen, we will be broadcasting. Amen. And then when the broadcast goes off live, you can tune us back in on Facebook. It's posted, and you can listen to the broadcast in its entirety. On July the 2nd, we invite you to come and be with us live as we enter into our new land of ministry that's there, and that's going to be at 12 noon at the location 214 Kyle Warden Avenue. Cowardin Avenue. We finally call it 7 East. Amen. And we'll be there. They'll be signing out and that kind of thing. But please stay tuned for announcements. We have some exciting. The senior pastor of the church is going to be our guest that day. And Elder Tressie is going to come and usher us into the presence of the Lord and dance. Just a lot of things are planned for that time. And so you got a month to make your way here. Think about it. If you're cross town, you know, get over to them. We call it Midtown, the top of the town. Amen. In that area over there, you're overlooking the James River. God bless you so much. If you'd like to give to our ministry, if you're watching online, I believe there is a number there that you can make a text donation to our ministry. You'll be sowing into good ground. We are a new ministry, and we got great things, and we're doing things in a loving and great way. That number to text message offering to us is 804-621-2896. That's 804-621-2896. And now, we want to just invite you one more time to this, not our house, but into the heart and protection and love of Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted him as your Lord and Savior, please do so today. Romans 10, 9 and 10 is a perfect, simple scripture to, in your home, wherever you are right now, in your car, wherever you are right now, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. All you have to do is believe that he is the Son of God. Amen. Believe in your heart and confess that with your mouth. The Bible says that then you are saved. And then connect yourself to a local fellowship that will continue to encourage you in the Word of God, grow you in the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Fall in love with his Word. Amen. And he will lead you and guide you by the Holy Spirit to wherever you need to be and do whatever you need to do in him as a kingdom dweller. And that's just how it is. And we invite you, again, to always be a part of our Love Zone Fellowship here on Fell in Love Ministry. So we want to say goodbye to you now. God bless you. We love you. Amen, church. We're going to have our ministers to come and take up